What the exact meaning of these words are, that by it ye may grow up to salvation. That is, as newborn babes desire earnestly the pure mental milk of the word, that by it ye may grow up to salvation. I'm thinking of the words grow up to salvation. Does it merely mean to enter more and more deeply into the blessings of the salvation that we have in the Lord Jesus, to experience it more and more? Or is it a reference even to the fact that when the Lord Jesus comes again, we shall experience salvation in its fullest extent, that is, the salvation of the body? Or is it something else?
Isn't it so that Peter sees salvation at the end of the road as something complete, at the end of the Christian path? So I would suggest this is something general, although we can obviously specify the aspects of salvation. But I would take this thing here as to be a general idea, that as we have been born because of the Word of God and by the Word of God, by the same Word of God, we shall grow. Now, to the finish, to the final. So I would see it, first of all, in a general aspect.
Might just be worth pointing out, having the benefit of footnotes in the Derby translation, it tells us that some manuscripts omit the words to salvation and some insert. So in case some are reading a version that doesn't have the words to salvation, and that's a matter of the different manuscripts, and that may also be relevant to the answer others will give us.
When we have the idea here that we should desire for the milk of the word with the aim that we may grow, and if we see, as you said, salvation is something at the end, as Peter usually does, then this also has the idea that this process of growing will never finish before we are at the end. It will go on until that moment when salvation will be complete.
And we say that, you know, once saved, always saved, and the initial work of salvation is one side of it. It's very important to underline what has been said already, that we can't be lost and the work of new birth can't be reversed. But salvation goes beyond just our eternal salvation. There's a daily working out of it, isn't there? We're in a world, and in a practical way, we need often to be saved from our circumstances, or preserved throughout our circumstances. And ultimately, we've heard already that the end, there'll be the redemption of our bodies, and that final act of salvation in that sense. I assume this thought embraces the whole range of these matters of salvation.
Today we are occupied with two effects of the Word of God. This morning we had this effect that the Word brings forth life. We are born again by the Word of God. And now we have a second effect. It is for growing. Yeah, it sustains life. Yeah. It's the same as the Lord Jesus himself explains in John chapter 6. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has eternal life. That's the first aspect we had this morning. And then he says, my flesh and my blood are really food and drink. That is for feeding, for sustaining life. And if we distinguish these two effects of the Word of God, then I think we realize that with salvation here, in 1 Peter 2, the end of our road is in view. When the Lord Jesus, comes for us for rapture, it's not the subject of Peter, but the full extent of salvation. And I would say this is the direction of spiritual growth, and it indicates the time in which we spiritually grow until salvation, until we reach the goal. And there is this happy thought, then growing no longer is needed.
Just a question in relation to that. Is the idea here really grow up until salvation? Is the growth, I don't even know how to phrase the question. If salvation here is something inevitable that's going to happen for all of us, why is it phrased in these terms, grow up to salvation, and then with the conditional clause, if indeed ye have tasted that the Lord is good? Is it not rather something that's an exhortation for us to put into practice in order that practical salvation might be attained by us during this life? I only put it as a question. I'm not trying to press it, but it seems to me that it's not an until, but it's a towards. It's something that's an objective for us to reach, which is conditional. If we're not practically tasting that the Lord is good, and if we're not growing by feeding on that pure mental milk of the Word, we'll not experience practical salvation as believers during our lives here. We'll fall into all kinds of traps and difficulties that we otherwise should have been freed from. And if we only see it as something that is inevitable for us in the end, then the sharp edge of this sword, as it ought to be cutting into us, might be dulled. I just make a suggestion here.
Just want to add to what Greg just said. Maybe we know that salvation in its full sense means the moment where we will be in spirit, soul, and body exactly like the Lord Jesus Christ, in its full sense. And until then, now I would like to continue the idea you just brought before us. Growing in the Scripture, one important aspect is growing in conformity with Christ. Our character is more Christ-like. And in our path, as Greg just said, there may be sometimes hindrances that will attack that growth, will stop that conformity to take place. And through feeding in the Word, with the Word of God, our new nature, our new life, we will be, maybe I use this expression, saved or spared of those things that will hinder this conformity to happen. So that's very important that we read daily the Word of God, that our mind is going through this process where the Holy Spirit uses the Scripture to change our way of thinking, but also to bring about conformity with Christ. And by feeding, and now I go with verse 3, what is the, and we heard it many times, what is the main subject of the Scripture? It's one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember the two disciples on the road to Emmaus when the Lord Jesus exposed to them from the Scriptures about Him. They said, our hearts were burning. That is, in that moment, the Holy Spirit presented Christ in all His beauty before their hearts. So I think in that moment, growth happened. There were more things, they were going away from Jerusalem. They were brought back where they're supposed to be. They got this wonderful revelation of He's resurrected. So they tasted how good is the Lord. And when we read the Scriptures daily and we taste how good He is by seeing Him in the Scripture, then we grow in conformity with Christ. A suggestion.
So if we continue in the picture of a baby which is born, which is newborn, then we know that in that sense the salvation is going to take place. The baby is getting older. But if the baby does drink or does not drink, maybe that is the condition for growth. So as we said, reading the Scripture and living with the Lord, maybe that could be a solution, as salvation being at the end of our way, it will happen. But growing in our path of faith is depending on how intense we drink of the pure mental milk of the Word.
I think our brother Greg was right to say that here we should read unto salvation. And if we take those manuscripts that have it, and as I could understand, it is probable that those are the best manuscripts. I'm not very sure, but I think that brothers still choose to put it here in the text. Then those manuscripts that have it, it's is soterian, that's towards, unto. It's a direction. So that's why I think that everything that we said is included, actually, because it says from where you are after having been born till the end, with all that it is included in between. Nothing is excluded. It's just from here, you turn your heading towards that point, which is in the future, and all on the way is under those things that are said here. And actually, the beautiful thing that I find is exactly as Emmanuel has put it, is that the main substance in this milk is what? What is the thing that makes that milk so tasty? It's the Lord being the subject of the scriptures.
Just to go back to the newborn babes here, I'd like some clarification. I see this as a figure of speech, as newborn babes. It's a simile, and Peter is not here talking about stages of spiritual growth, I don't think, like in John, where there are babes and young men and fathers, or in 1 Corinthians 3, where they're in a carnal state and he has to give them milk instead of solid food, as in Hebrews 5 also. But the idea is it not that our attitude to the Word of God should constantly and continuously throughout our life be as newborn babes. You've got that ardency, you've got that zeal, you've got that desire. And it's a very strong desire. If you hold out your knuckle to a young babe to suck on, you can feel the strength, you can feel the conviction. So it's a figure of speech that is very suggestive. And I just wonder, do we have that desire for the Word of God, such as seen in the Psalms, such as seen in Jeremiah, thy words were found and I did eat them, such as found in Job, that they became more than my necessary food. And this attitude to the Word of God should characterize us, and as we are formed by the Scripture and fed by the Scripture, the new nature stemming from the new birth needs to be fed. And we have to feed the dove and starve the raven, as it said, alluding to Noah's Ark. And another thing I just wanted to point out here is that it says pure in the sense of unadulterated. And that would show us that we should be careful. I know the Bible was given, the original autographs were in Hebrew and Greek, but it would be important for us to have an accurate translation. And it brings in the manuscript authorities also, of course, as Dragos has mentioned, but perhaps a literal translation based on the principle of literal equivalence, so that we have, as far as we can in our own language, what God has actually said. And then they mental milk, in French it's the pour lait intellectuel. Intellectual or mental, rational. There are rational processes when we come to the study of the Word of God. We don't leave our thinking apparatus behind every time we open the Scriptures, but the renewed mind gives us the capacity to enter into it. The Lord has communicated spiritual things in spiritual words, so we need to take heed to what he is saying. And I think if we understand these processes, and given that the Scripture is all about Christ, Christ and all the Scriptures, that's going to lead to our spiritual formation, and we will be growing up to salvation in a literal, daily, everyday experience. But that raises a challenge, I think, for my own heart and perhaps for all of us. How precious is the Word of God to us today?
Perhaps we know that it should be precious to us, and perhaps the question might arise, coming back to the analogy that is used, that Andrew has referred to, a newborn babe doesn't need to be taught to desire earnestly his or her mother's milk. It just happens. Perhaps there are some of us here who would have to confess that they don't earnestly desire the scriptures. I can confess that after being saved, that characterized me for a period of time. Obviously, it's not a good state, and anyone in that state would, I'm sure, acknowledge that. How then does one get this desire for the pure mental milk of the Word? It's perhaps a slightly surprising exhortation, because how do you create a desire? Normally, a desire is something that is just there. Perhaps when we recognize the importance of the Scriptures, all of the things that have been said in connection with growing up to salvation, we can perhaps bear those in mind and be exercised in connection with them. When we recognize that the Scriptures speak of Christ, perhaps we'll recognize that, yes, it is important, and I just have to make, if you like, force myself to have a desire to read the Word of God, to think about it as well, as Andrew has said, to meditate upon it. But just to give a practical suggestion for anyone who wants to have this earnest desire for the Scriptures but doesn't have that, what we have in verse 3 might provide a help, or to go back to Psalm 34, which is where verse 3 is quoted from. It's just put slightly differently in Psalm 34. It's taste and see that the Lord is good. I'd suggest that if you just taste the Scriptures with an earnest desire to come into the good of this exhortation to desire them earnestly thereafter, just taste the Scriptures and you will find that the Lord is good. Don't try to read Ezekiel in one sitting. That's not going to be helpful. But maybe just read a couple of verses from one of the Gospels, and I'm just mentioning that as a suggestion. It could be. There are many other starting places, but just read something, a short bit from the Gospels, spend a few minutes thinking about it, and then you will find that you just have this desire that grows and grows, and you'll be in the good of this exhortation. But I would add that it's the Word. It's the Scriptures as a whole. I was thinking of what Paul says in connection with Timothy, that as a child he knew the sacred letters, which are able to make us wise unto salvation. The sacred letters are a reference to the Old Testament Scriptures, to taken in their immediate application. We can apply the principle of what Paul says there to the whole of the Scriptures. They are able to make us wise unto salvation. I don't want to say what that might exactly mean, but Timothy benefited from the Old Testament Scriptures, which were able to make him wise unto New Testament salvation. Obviously, we have the benefit of the entire Word of God to help us grow up to New Testament salvation, if I can put things in that way, but the whole of the Word of God is part of that. So that does include Ezekiel. Maybe it's a bit of a struggle. Maybe there are other books that we find a bit of a struggle, but we should also desire earnestly to see what the Lord is saying to us in those parts of His Word.
I think too, Mark, in connection with what you're saying, our moral condition would come into it, as we've discussed this morning, because if those things that are mentioned in verse 1 are characterizing our lives, we're not going to have that desire, so we have to lay aside certain things also. John Bunyan, the writer of The Pilgrim's Progress, he put it very succinctly. He said, sin will keep you from the book, or the book will keep you from sin.
When we speak, as we have done, and promote this eagerly studying the Scriptures, you may hear the argument that some say, well, but there's a danger of this becoming an intellectual thing only, which is only in your head and not in your heart. The danger is there, of course, but that is no excuse for not studying the Scriptures.
Just wanted to add a brief remark as to raising our desire. I think some of us might know the saying, appetite comes with eating. And I think as you start eating, as you start nourishing on the Bible, studying the Lord Jesus, you will notice appetite will develop and appetite for more. And I think that's perhaps another help for anyone who lacks this desire.
Perhaps we could also add that if we are feeding, have I? Yes. Sorry. Yes. Yeah, I was just saying perhaps I could add very briefly that if we're feeding on a lot of other things, they may not be sinful, but a lot of other things are occupying our minds. And I confess sometimes this is the case with me. We can be interested with all sorts of things about life and the world at large. I'm not going to itemize them all. But frankly, if that's what our mind is constantly engaged on, it's going to tend to dent our appetite for the Word of God, I think, because other things can be very, very attractive in their own way, and they shape and form our feelings and thoughts about life. And then the Word of God is taking a rather back seat in our lives. It's something we're only doing when we, dare I say it, have to do our quiet time, that kind of thing. And that fits in with what you've just said, I think.
Freedom.
I think Scripture gives us often the normal development of things of Christian growing. And this is, for my opinion, the case here. The normal thing is a babe cries for nourishment, and Peter took this picture to make us clear what should characterize us all, independent from our age and so on. This is the normal case. If somebody has new life, has been born again, he will have this appetite, he will have this desire as a newborn babe. That you may grow thereby up to salvation, I would like to connect it with chapter 1, verse 5 at the end. Through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. But the emphasis is not, as a suggestion, the emphasis is not the salvation. The emphasis is growing, and the final goal is salvation. Salvation is independent from our reading the Bible, it's sure, but if we want to have full enjoyment of the Scripture, if we want to be adults, if we want to be fruitful for the Lord, we have to read the Scriptures. We have to have this desire for the pure milk. And then comes verse 3 and gives us or them the motivation. You have experienced that the Lord is gracious, and you will experience that the Lord will be gracious. And for this reason, read the Bible, have the desire for the pure milk, and you will taste it more and more that the Lord is gracious. Would like to read 3 scriptures from Psalm 36. I read from the Darby version, Psalm 36, verse 5. Jehovah, thy loving kindness is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Verse 7. How precious is thy loving kindness, O God. Verse 10. Continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. And Psalm 59, verse 16. But as for me, I will sing of thy strength. Yeah, I will sing aloud of thy loving kindness in the morning.
It seems that this matter of growth is related to an appreciation of Christ. It's to do with a person. And at first sight, you might say, well, what influence do I have on my growth? But, I mean, this is one pointer here. It's to do with the food we take and enjoy. But just to show the relationship with the person, and we'll see this in a moment in our text here when we come to verse
or continue on verse 3, that the Lord is good. But I just want to show a couple of verses from Paul's writings where he talks about growth, and you find the same link. One is in Colossians, where he prays for the Colossians in chapter 1. And it says in verse 10, to walk worthy of the Lord unto all well-pleasing, bearing fruit in every good work and growing. Now it comes, growing by what? By the true knowledge of God. So to put it simply, what is most conducive to spiritual growth is occupation with and getting to know our God and getting to know the Lord Jesus. The other reference I had in mind is Ephesians 4, where it's linked more directly with Christ. Ephesians 4:15, he first warns them about error, and then he says, but holding the truth in love, we may grow up to him. You see, it's the same direction. Growth is related to getting closer to the Lord. In all things, who is the head, the Christ, from whom the whole body fitted together, connected by every joint of supply, and so on, grows this growth. Now, when we look at the connection here with verse 3, I think it's beautiful because it speaks of tasting. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. It's to do with enjoyment. I think we've made the point that all Scripture is important. We should study the doctrine. We should get a grasp of the doctrine. But it will only be beneficial for us if we taste, if we enjoy the simple things to do with the milk and get to know the Lord more closely. Now, this phrase, of course, would have reminded them of something, to taste that the Lord is good. Psalm 34, and mind the difference. In Psalm 34, it says in verse 8, taste and see that Jehovah is good. So it's an imperative here, but the main difference is the way it's rendered in the translation here is the name Jehovah is used. If you go back to our verse and ask the question, well, who exactly is meant here by the Lord? It becomes very clear by reading on, to whom coming as unto a living stone. It's the Lord Jesus. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying these people had a Jewish background. They followed, they had been converted to Christ. They followed him and they knew he was rejected. And now Peter says, look, you can grow and you can taste that the Lord is good. And this title, Jehovah, the eternal one, applies to Christ, to the one who is rejected and despised by the world. And we are linked with him, we come to him, and we taste that he is good.
As Michael showed in Paul's letters, the connection between spiritual growth and the knowledge of God, the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, I just would like to add that is exactly the same how Peter ends his epistles. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's exactly the same. And perhaps it might be good to keep in mind that the exhortation here in verse 2 is not grow. The exhortation is desire earnestly the pure mental milk. And the spiritual growth will, so to say, automatically come if we use this good nourishment. Yeah. And just in connection with verse 3, if we are true believers, and if we use the milk of the Word of God and find the Lord in it, we really experience, we taste that the Lord is good. That is an experience a mere confessor does not make. If we look into Matthew chapter 25, the Lord giving the talents, then there is this servant who received the one talent, but he did not work with it. He was a mere confessor. He did not work for the Lord. Somehow parallel, he did not grow. Yeah, and what does he say about the Lord?
He says, I knew that you are a hard man. What did he know about this Lord? What did he know about this man? Nothing. Nothing. But he said, well, I knew that thou art a hard man. But every believer who really lives with the Lord, who really desires to learn about his wonderful person by using the Word of God, he really will taste that the Lord is good, that he has a heart full of love towards us, and that he really wants the best for us. Yes, he is good. He is also just. We had this subject when we started this Bible study. The one who we call Father is a holy God, and we want to be holy, but nevertheless, he is good. This is not in contradiction to his holiness, but we will experience, yes, he is good. Yes, and it is him to whom we come closer, come nearer, and enjoy fellowship with him. Yes, he is, again, in verse 4, the source of life, and he is the one, who really is God.
If we indeed have tasted that the Lord is good, the possibility we do have, and the wonderful thing we do have, that we can taste that the Lord is good, the condition for that was that the Lord tasted death. That's what we find in Hebrews 2, verse 9. It's the same word, I think. And that's what he did for you and for me. He tasted death. And that makes us understand that he is really good. That what he was the utmost he could do. And there's also, I think, a personal situation of Peter. I refer to what we have heard on Monday evening, 10 times 3. One of the three was he denied the Lord 3 times. What was the experience, the personal experience that Peter made with the Lord Jesus? He met him personally. Nothing is said about that. But in John 20:21, we learn that he was officially restored and he gave him 3 tasks. What a wonderful Lord. That was a personal experience Peter made with the Lord Jesus.
I'd like to make a practical application to that, because I think if we really have tasted that the Lord is good, it has an impact on our lives. What do I mean? First of all, we won't just miss our daily Bible reading, our devotional time. We make it a priority every morning to do that first. Secondly, we might not want to miss the meetings where we come together to study the Word of God, to get a little bit more of that pure mental milk, to get more about the Lord Jesus, to get him more and more. We don't miss, maybe, if we have the opportunity, to go on conferences like that. We make it a priority to enjoy the studying of his Word, because we really desire to have that milk. So we could go on and on and on, but I think the main point and question for us is it our desire? Is it our priority? Is it the full enjoyment that we have to be, as we said, here at a conference like this?
It certainly is an experimental thing. We have to go in for it. We have to read God's Word. And as Daniel said earlier, the more we read God's Word, the more we understand the links within it. We see the perfections of it. We see the way in which one word sheds light on another word. I think that starts to increase our appetite for the Word of God. We realize through reading it how precious, perfect, and beneficial it is. We find in it the Lord Jesus. We won't find this in the works of Charles Dickens or somebody else like that. Not that he was a bad novelist or anything like that, but he couldn't speak about the Lord Jesus. Probably didn't know him as his Savior. But the point is, it's only in the Word of God that we find the things that really count for life with Christ.
And now if we have seen that the goal, the whole goal of being desiring this milk every morning, every day, is to become, to grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus, then we come to the next verse. And then we become not only like the Lord Jesus, we become also like the Father. Then we see what was our prayer to start this afternoon. Show us the beauty of the Lord Jesus. He is the living stone. We know he is rejected by man, but now we see God the Father. And we see that this Son is chosen by God, and he is precious in the eyes of God. And if we become, if we grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, and he becomes the precious, the most precious things in my personal life, then I become like my Father. That's exactly the last verse of Matthew 5, verse 48, the last verse of Matthew 5. Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. So the thought that we are, that we should be like Christ, was familiar to me. But here I discover the thought that I can become like the Father, in a sense, if I have the same esteem for his Son, and I grow in his knowledge, I become like the Son, and he becomes precious in my eyes, like he is precious in the eyes of the Father.
We have been speaking about the desire and the necessity for spiritual growth to study and read the scriptures, and Satan knows that. And he has been quite successful among young people in general to reduce the habit and the ability to read at all. The attention span for some is not much longer than a TikTok video, and that's a challenge for young Christians to not go along with that.
And I think along with that goes also the next aspect, living stone, acting in the assembly, acting as a priest. You cannot do that unless you fed. I was astonished, it was maybe 25 years ago, in Romania, when I was speaking to a young brother, and I was you know, astonished how little they know from the things in the Word of God. And that brother told me, you know why? I said, no. He said, because we don't know the Word of God. I expected them to know more and more about and from, but they didn't know it, the very Word. So I would say there are three, now I'm divagating a little just maybe to help the young people what they should expect. We all know that. The first thing is to know the Word of God. Just read it. Read it. You don't understand anything, it doesn't matter. Just read it. Have it in your mind. Learn it by heart. Just read it, read it, read it. If you don't understand anything, that's fine. Probably you know that saying when a sister, it was here in England, I mean, it could happen only here, right? The sister says, brother, I don't understand much in the assembly from the Word of God. And the brother said, go and get your handkerchief and bring it full with water. And the sister came and says, it's just wet, but it doesn't hold. It doesn't matter. Try it again. And obviously there was no water inside, right? And the brother said, listen, it doesn't hold water, but it's way purer than before. So that's the first thing. The Word of God, just remember, learn it. And then the second stage would be probably to understand the principles, the basics, the ideas, as we have been told. That's why those books are wonderful. Redemption, what is that? What you know, the glossary of terms. What do brothers mean when they refer to this or that thing? Okay, that's growing, and I would expect that to go, you know, until 25, 26, 30 years of age, maybe to understand those things right. And then, for the rest of our lives, we start connecting. And the connections in between those truths never ends.